Broadcasting live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, thanks for listening, calling, and participating today. Thank you, Peggy Kaczynski. Jesse's back in tomorrow. And thank you to Bleck and Abdallah. They'll be on after Waddle and Sylvie, 6 to 6:30, getting you ready for the matchup of the night in MLB, probably the matchup of the second half.
Great combo. Verlander versus Peg and Angry Carm. We love it. We were listening upstairs.
I mean, you know, he's got to piss me off first thing in the morning.
You know, it's text so about out attendance. Of context. Out of context. I'm going to be an athlete today.
Hey, UT.
Longhorns.
My son, yeah.
You go to UT?
Is he a Longhorn?
Yeah, like he's Jose Valentin. Longhorn.
Yeah.
Nice. Jason looks like Jose Valentin?
He does look like Jose Valentin.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a compliment.
That
Jose
Austin?
Valentin was
a great looking Austin. Austin's the best.
Yeah, they just got Manning.
Yeah. Yes, they got Arch.
They just signed Arch Manning.
Arch Manning. Crosstalk brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend. A lot. I've been down there recently. The buildings down there, that AT&T, they got a lot of money down there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what it cost them to get Arch Manning. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars. Or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Now, Waddle and Sylvie said the Fan is supposed to be coming on in like 7 minutes.
Wow.
Fan Noah, right? Is that his name? Yes. Noah?
Well,
Noah.
He's already had the game meeting with Tony to get him filled in on what the hell to do.
They went over the pitching, the pitching approach. Yeah.
The White Sox gave him his new seats in the dugout.
In the dugout.
It's going to, Peggy, it's going to be more like Sox math where every day there's a new winner where you send Jason Benetti your videos and then the next day you get to sit next to TLR. I said it's like, do you know the guy on... all the coaches who are very active, the get back guy.
Yeah,
and he
has
to pull the coach back off the field.
Yes.
This is the wake up Tony guy.
Yeah, nudge him.
Every time you see Tony sort of drift off, you give him an elbow. Wait, Tony, wake
Tony,
up.
Wake up.
Tony,
wake up. It's time to pinch run.
Tony, wake up.
You got a pinch hit now.
Wake
up.
It's the get up guy.
I like that.
We got the get back guy. We got the get up guy.
You saw the video, too. When you see the video that was taken, like at first, when you're watching the game, you're like, wait, was that La Russa that was kind of out?
Running out.
Looked like he was a little dazed. And, you know, I said it's like when I get up in the morning and I'm slowly going down the stairs because everything hurts.
And you said to Carm, how the hell you know what I look like when I wake up in the morning?
I know. That was a little presumptuous of him. But we're looking and we're like, what? Why is he... Was La Russa just out of the dugout? What's going on?
Do you remember when Ricky Birdsong went up into the crowd during the Northwestern game?
Oh, yeah.
He was their old basketball coach, and there was one weird game where he went up into the crowd and started shaking people's hands. And for a brief second, I thought Tony was disoriented. When all out of the blue, there was a pause in the action. Like you said, like a person trying to wake up out of a dream.
It's just, it is.
And then, sure enough, then after the game, we get this whole secondary view.
And it's par for the course, isn't it, for this White Sox team? Like, this was the best win of the year, all things considered. It was just a dog-you-know-what game until the eighth inning. And then with two outs, they go on this run, and this is a meaningful win to, and you feel it. And then you realize that, like, there was still something that is stuck in your craw about this, even the most important win of the season.
What is the rest of that dugout doing, though, in fairness?
I was saying the same thing upstairs.
What are they doing in there?
I mean, we can point the finger at Tony, and rightfully so, but where's
your bench? Where's Miguel Cairo?
Yeah. Ultimately, it's the manager's job. I get it, but
Tony argued with the beat guys about Joe Kelly's arm. Tony, what about Joe Kelly's arm? It's not an arm injury.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, not an arm injury. So if he's doing that to the beat guys, what's he doing when Miguel Cairo is suggesting stuff?
Hey, Tony, we got a pinch run.
Seriously, why even have a bench
coach?
Why even
have a Tony?
Have Noah do it. Just put him in there.
Well, that's a great guess, though. Is there nobody else in the dugout? This is going to be interesting.
Hopefully, it's the right guy. Well, this isn't Kirk Heinrich. We got Kirk Heinrich that one time.
This could be. We could get got here, so we'll see.
Why do you call it that? Got.
Getting
you
got.
Got got.
You got got. Got.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got got.
You got got.
Like, I almost got last time I was here.
Yeah. No,
with a tweet.
Like if you fall for it,
you almost got got.
Yes,
yeah.
You did. Fake Rappaport, yes, like did. People fall that's for what it. That's was. Getting
yes,
got.
That's it was. Getting got. Yeah. Yeah. The Rappaport one's sneaky. Was, yeah. You gotta be careful. Yeah. A lot of people have gotten
and
got
the Shefty, you know, there's
it's a Jeff Passan. That's what it
I
was.
I think it was a Passan. Yeah. Yeah, it was because it was right around trade deadline. And Peggy
and
almost got
caught
got.
It. Yep.
Yeah, we were like, whoa, wait.
It happens.
Our buddy Blanzy recently got got.
Did he get got?
Yeah,
on
he
what?
Got got. It was.
Was it on the air, too?
Was it was on the air. Yeah. It was on Sunday night.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, oof, Blanzy yeah, got got.
What was it?
I'm trying to remember.
No.
It was a. Yeah.
It was. I know something
story?
Happened. Yeah, I forget the details, but I remember getting got.
He got got.
Yeah.
Got. You saw like the Chiron up there and he was to get it, and I was like,
Nope.
He got got. It happens.
Always click on the profile always. And see, look at the followers.
How will Tony respond to the questions about this before the game?
He'll talk about walking Trey Turner with two strikes.
You're right. Danny said, like, and nothing would surprise me these days. Danny said, don't be shocked if they don't even ask him about it.
What if they don't make him available? That's what they've been doing. Yeah. Whenever there's something controversial
wait,
now,
Tony's
all of a sudden
been
he's
available
not,
the next day.
That's happened. Well, the sleep.
Yeah,
when he fell asleep,
I don't
he wasn't available. He wasn't
yeah.
available
yeah.
the next day.
Yeah, I don't think they made him available the next day. I think that's right. Yeah.
Well, how could you? That's even worse. I think.
Or they close the clubhouse for an extra hour. You know, we got to get our cuts in. We got to get our hitters meeting.
I mean,
Tony walked right through it, but we're having a hitters
yeah.
meeting.
Yeah, right. If yeah. they ask him, he's going to say, well, of course not. That's ridiculous. We knew we had to.
Look, we told them this a year and a half ago. We all knew. We all knew there was a reason he'd been retired for 10 years. We all knew. We warned them. This is not right. This is going to be bad. And oh, you guys are haters. You're a Cubs fan, Sylvie. And blah, blah, blah. No, this was never the right move.
I would do it worse
than we could have ever
predicted.
You know
what I would do? I'd make Johnny Cueto player manager.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
There you go.
Because he's had the most, the most
Cap
compelling.
Or something.
He's had the most compelling presentation of all.
Oh, he's awesome.
I love all of them. Not just on the mound, Carm, but I'm saying in the clubhouse as well. We need to find our fire if we have it.
Cueto's been great. I mean, you talk about, like, delivering. I mean,
he's
a veteran pitcher, like, who's pitching well. He's not only, like, giving you what you need as a veteran presence inside your clubhouse, like, he's gone out there and he still spins eight innings.
Look at his stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much it still moves.
I thought at the All-Star break, I was like, there's no chance he can continue to do this. There will be a regression to the mean. There's been none. He's been better.
I'm stunned by it.
He's been unbelievable.
Think about it, too. So he comes out in this game after La Russa second guesses what he has to say. So he's got the spotlight on him. What are you going to do, Johnny? Walk the walk now after talking to talk about fire. Then the fielders let him down in the first inning. The double play that didn't happen.
Right.
The dropped relay throw. Like, it was a terrible first inning.
Yeah.
So your manager doesn't back you up. Your fielders don't back you up in the first inning of the star coming back. And you know what he says? Don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to still stick it up there, you know what?
8 innings.
And go 8 innings and strike out the last guy I face.
I know. It was pretty awesome.
I'm going to pump my fist.
That was great.
It was great. It really was.
I hope tonight's game lives up to the billing.
Me too.
I want it to go.
Me too.
I want there to be another controversy tomorrow because it's a scoreless game heading into the eighth inning and both pitchers are dueling and who's going to blink first and which manager is going to make a move first. Now,
Carm, what do you think? 17,500 are in the building
I'll
tonight.
Be one of them.
Oh, come on,
I don't care if there's 15 or 40. Doesn't matter. Me, my son, and his two friends will be four of them.
Listen, you can go to a crowded beach. I much rather go to a beach where I have room, I can spread out. That's right. I can kind of put my feet up. No one needs to see me in a bathing suit.
I just want the beach to be nice. I don't care how crowded it is. I just want to be at a crappy beach.
It's a nice beach.
I don't want needles and seaweed
and
floating into the sand.
It's a nice beach.
That's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind that there's 20,000 of us there.
There'll be more room for you and the kids.
That's what I always say. I like it. I don't want to wait in line at the bathroom or the concession.
Should we get to our fan?
Yeah, you got him.
So Noah Weinstein is the name of the fan who turned to Tony.
Fan/manager.
Right. He's now the fan manager.
Let's go to the fan manager. The famager.
Noah Weinstein, who is joining us on Waddle and Sylvie and Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. Peggy is in for Yurko today. Noah, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, guys. Happy about that win. That's the most important thing.
Take us through. Noah, set this up.
Wait a minute. Can we do it? Hold on. let's do a quick test to make sure we're not getting got here, okay,
well,
Noah?
If we get got, we get got.
Noah,
dude,
tell us.
Go in blind.
He's
yell,
repeat the
yell,
phrase.
Yell, repeat the phrase. Yell, Tony, put an angle.
Come on.
It was actually Tony. Run angle.
Yeah, it's our guy.
Our guy.
It's
our guy. Our guy.
Our guy.
Our guy.
Our guy.
Hey, Noah.
All right. So Noah, explain to us how did this go? Set it all up for us. What was going on? What prompted you to do this? And do you believe that you really caused Tony La Russa to pinch run him?
I'm not certain. I hope so, because I wasn't so close to him. You know, maybe there were 8 people closer to him, but I kept yelling it, and I motioned for the fans who were literally right next to the dugout, tell him, just in case he couldn't hear me. And then before I knew it, there he was out on the field. So,
Noah, did at any point did you hear snoring coming from the dugout?
Tom, unfortunately, as I said, I wasn't close enough.
Okay,
but,
my bad.
Listen, I'm a desperate Sox fan, lifelong Sox fan. I live and die. I watch. I'm embarrassed to say how many innings I watch, you know, per year. But they're just my love, you know,
they're your passion.
They're my passion. It's like you know, they're my the girlfriend who I cheat on my wife with, you know?
Okay.
Wow.
Right. Wow. No. Now here we go.
Now it's on.
Let's find out more about that girlfriend.
but no, so you're talking to someone who lives and dies with them, and you know, I'm dissecting the game with my son, with my friends all the time. And what Tony's doing is unacceptable.
Yes.
So here I was, about 10 rows back, and when Aloy got that huge hit, and he's on second, and I'm not seeing anything happen, I ran down there and made certain that I had my voice heard. And,
those weren't even your seats?
No, they actually weren't.
Oh.
No.
So you acted fast.
It wasn't a huge crowd, so we kind of just snuck down and no one bothered us.
It's a good thing there wasn't a huge crowd.
Let's skip over that part.
It's a good thing there wasn't a huge crowd.
Let's just skip over that part.
See, this is why I say 18,000 is fine.
This is why Noah's awesome as a fan.
Awesome.
Noah, you went into action. Like, you broke into action. You saw a lawyer, like, why aren't they pinch running for a lawyer? I got to get my ass down there.
I love it.
Exactly.
Sylvie, if there were 30,000 there, he never would have gotten down the steps. They would have, the security would have stopped him.
Are you kidding? You don't know me.
I don't know the whole thing.
Have you ever noticed Tony interacting at all with the crowd?
I see him sometimes after a win. He's all happy and he's calling people down. Maybe he gives them a ball. I don't know. But what's funny is I've been a fan so long. When he was managing in the 80s, and they were, you know, they were starting to struggle down the stretch in 83. And I went down there and also tried to have some words with him about his strategy. So this is not new.
This is like a 40-year thing going on.
Yeah, Noah, as a diehard fan, what has frustrated you most about this team this year? Has it been the lackadaisical play, base running mistakes, the managerial issues, how the team's constructed? What has been most frustrating for you so far?
I mean, certainly the managerial issues have really stood out, but even more so, Tom, has been the horrendous offense.
Yeah.
I mean, just awful. And Moncada has had my ire more than anybody. And I actually went down there and tried to give him encouragement earlier in the game after that strikeout. It was so easy to get down there right at the on deck circle, and amazing. I gave him some encouragement, and then he, you know, not only that last hit, but he had a great swing and miss, and then he flew out deep to center. So whether that mattered or not, who knows, but it certainly didn't hurt.
If the White Sox called you to be their bench coach, would you accept the job?
100%.
From where you were, have they called you yet and said, "Hey, take a season ticket next to the dugout"? Well, from your vantage point, where you were looking, could you see Tony in the dugout, or were you just like yelling, hoping he would hear you, or could you see him?
I could see him.
You could.
I could see him, yes.
And did he kind of, like, look over at you at some point?
Yeah, he was running to the fire.
I mean, I love it. I love this guy.
He saw what was going to happen, and he went running to the fire.
I was already standing there, so there was time for me to get that message out there and see, you know, if he was going to look at me.
Did he look?
But truthfully, no. He did. Okay. He did not look at me, but something happened, and it worked.
No, or were you screaming at AJ Pollock to run and not look back with two outs as well?
Really.
I just want to know, are you covering all the bases, Noah?
Because the throw went into second. He would have scored without a throw.
I texted these guys on our text chain right when it happened.
And you have no clue that that throw was going to second anyway, based on the circumstances.
I don't understand. Like, everything about them, even on, like, the most glorious night of the year for them, is, like, frustrating. It's like, what is AJ Pollock doing? Did he forget the outs?
Noah, what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a psychotherapist.
This is too good to be true. You should be managing the White Sox. Yes. There's no doubt in my mind.
Sylvie, if something comes of this where I get some chance to have a voice, I'm all in.
Mental skills coach for the White Sox, I'm telling you.
As a fan of, like, being a fan of this team for as long as you've been a fan, and even remembering Tony's first go around here, and then knowing that, yes, we can bash him all we want, and I've done it plenty. Tony is a very decorated and accomplished person in MLB history. What was your thought a year ago, year and a half ago, when they hired him?
I didn't like it, but I can say I didn't hate it either, because I just didn't know what to expect. So I wasn't one of those people who was just going nuts about it. Okay. I thought he'd do at least a decent enough job with such great talent. And last year they won the division, so, you know, it wasn't so awful. But then this year has just, I mean, clearly he doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
And they're too, Reinsdorf is just too arrogant to make a change. And so now we as fans have to stand up and let our voices be heard. And I hope more people will do this.
Noah Weinstein is joining us. He's the fan who was captured in the video yelling at the White Sox dugout and Tony La Russa to pinch run Adam Engel, in which then they did. Tell us about the fame, Noah, and how this goes viral. So this wasn't your family. This was someone else shooting it, correct? And then your son tweeted it? Take us through all that.
Correct. So, you know, I'm just down there. This is a business trip for me. I'm not there to have fun. I'm looking to win. And truly, you know, this is so I'm down there and I'm yelling what needed to be done. It's not a hard decision. And then, you know, we see it happen. My son comes down there and we're happy. We go back to our seats a few rows back. About 10 minutes later, a woman comes up to me and says she videoed this and she's going to send it to me. So I gave her my number. She sent it. And then my kid is very, you know, into the whole Twitter world and all the baseball accounts out there. And so as we're driving home, he's just sending it everywhere. And it went, you know, into the few hundred thousand by the time we went to sleep. It was unbelievable.
Noah, you honestly, if this is the turning point that everyone's been looking for, this is the springboard, and this is what leads them to reach their potential, and you get to the postseason, you get to the top of the mountain, you win the World Series, you'll be more popular, or you'll be more well known than Steve Bartman for good reason.
For good reason.
Well, at least I'll be known in a good way.
Exactly. For good reason.
Are you even a season ticket holder, or did you just get seats?
In fact, that was my first game of the year because I've been so disappointed.
Wow, really?
But I am going back tonight.
You're going tonight? Good.
And what does Noah, the psychotherapist, tell Noah, the disappointed Sox fan?
Oh, that's good, Pat.
Oh, my God. Just, you know, deep breaths. Just keep hanging in there. And fortunately for baseball, there's always tomorrow.
Drink
a lot of meditation.
And a lot of wine.
Give us your fan credentials, Noah. Like you said, you for many, many years, how did you become a Sox fan? Where are you from? Give us the lowdown here.
You know, I grew up in Highland Park. I'm not sure why I chose the Sox over the Cubs, but that's just what happened from, you know, eight, 9 years old. Just been a diehard, played the game, you know, growing up, and it's always been my favorite game. And as you guys know, it's been so much disappointment. We had 83. We had, you know, what was it? 93. And then finally, that World Series was beyond belief. But just, I've been there all the way. I'm one of those people. And don't have, unfortunately, that's my passion. So fortunately, but maybe unfortunately in certain ways, but it's just my passion. I can't help it. You guys know what that feels like.
I know. Of course.
If you were a Sox fan, I know.
Carmen, you know.
I know. Yeah, I know it.
If you were a Bears fan, Matt Nagy still may be in with
Believe
a job
me.
If you were in the front
yes,
row. You
I
could be counseling
fan.
Him.
So they all hear it too.
How many text messages have you gotten to go on shows and different things?
So far, it's just been you guys and the people down the dial, but it's been, you know, all these sites, like, all around the country that that are playing this video. It's been unbelievable.
I love it.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, Noah, keep up the great work. Keep on cheering them. Keep on listening to ESPN 1000 for the home team call here with Len. And
keep counseling
and,
the manager
and
when you get
right.
a chance.
We should do a weekly segment with you. You should call back next week during Crosstalk, and then we'll find out how you feel about the team.
You know what, Sylvie? If they're doing bad, I'm really not even going to want to talk, but maybe I will. Let's just hope that they keep hanging in there. And to all the Sox fans, you know, not that you got to go down to the dugout, but just, you know, we need changes.
Yes. God, Noah, you are, well, you're obviously a healthy person because what you do for a living, maybe. You're centered. Your attitude about all this is like it's perfect, it's spot on, you're centered, you're put together. I'm very impressed. And you saved the day last night. Good work, man.
Yeah, because like if this was Sylvie yelling at Joe Madden,
he would have been MFing
him. Noah handled it like a professional.
He's the hero. Yes.
I love it. I love it.
Noah, great stuff. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. Take care.
See you, Noah. That was phenomenal.
That was awesome.
What a great fan. What a great fan.
That's what I mean. Like, he's kind of level-headed about the whole thing, you know? He sprung to action.
Do you guys want to stay a little bit and talk to? No,
I'm
going.
I'm
not
going
to
have
yourself. He hates
you. You took it all out of context.
I did not take anything out of context.
Did you read the text message,
Noah. Noah was able to go do what he did because last night's game was lightly attended.
Well, which is good.
Yes.
So take that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Thanks, Cap.
Peggy, can you stay for a couple minutes, or you got to hit the road, too?
What is it you want to talk about?
No, I mean, we have
the attendance. I want to talk about the attendance.
I wanted to bring up why he's mad
at
me.
But I got to get home because I'm coming back down. I'm going to the game.
Go ahead. All right, we'll talk tomorrow.
My daughter's taking the train for the first time, so I have to go meet her at the train station.
There's only 12,000 going tonight.
Did everyone on Twitch get that?
I need that as a gift right now. I need that.
Can someone do that? Somebody caught that.
Someone please on Twitch. Can I get that in a gift?
Rebound
notes in there. Italian curse in there, too.
Come on, one of these guys.
Yeah, why not? You already used it.
I already used a bad word.
That was the Jim Valvano.
That's the Jim Valvano, as he says. Vanavoli. That's right. Yeah, I'll tell you. It means go back to Naples, but it means a little something else, if you know what I'm saying. God bless Jimmy V.
All right, let's talk about that. 312-332-3776. Do you really believe that he impacted Tony La Russa?
Yes.
We will discuss that.
See you, boys.
Next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
And the pitch, swinging a base hit into the left field corner. Both runs will score. It's a double. We're tied at two. How about that from Eloy on an 0-2 pitch?
I have no idea where that came from.
Swing and a base hit. Into center. Engel scores. Abreu is in. It's 4-2. Right-hand hitter. And he swings and pops it up. Abreu backpedaling into the outfield grass. He's got it. And the White Sox beat the Astros. They come back late. A big win to start this series.
There you go. All the exciting highlights right here on ESPN 1000.
Win of the year so far.
It's not even close.
Not even close. Everything considered. Now the question is this a jumping off point Is this an inflection point, so to speak? Or will 3 days from now, we'll just look back at this and say, hey, just a game. It was just an inning, not even a game. It's just an inning of offense. Johnny Cueto was great, but just an inning of offense. We'll find out. We'll see.
Yeah, I think by next Monday we'll know. After the last three games against the Astros and the weekend series against the Guardians. Like, that's sort of how I've been doing it recently is, where are the Sox every Monday? Are they gaining ground every Monday, even if it's just a little? You know, it was 2.5, I think, yesterday going into the game. They had caught the Twins. But, I mean, I'm not predicting any sort of...
That's an improbable win for a number of reasons. First of all, there was two outs in the inning. And they get things started with a Pollock nubbered a third base. If I read the graphic correct, the Astros brought the best collective ERA from a bullpen in the entire Major League Baseball to town. I don't think that dude got it. I mean, he obviously didn't get an out because the rally started with two outs. But it was an exciting game. Johnny Cueto was fabulous. The bats came alive when they needed it.
Aloy, and the hope here like you're like Aloy looked bad boy, early in the in
boy, the. The fact that he was able to get a bat on the where that ball was played, it was a great pitch,
right?
And he swung and missed at a pitch in a similar spot,
right,
with the first pitch of the at bat. But then to get it down to third baseline, it was exciting.
Like someone because we were hyping this series, someone tweeted me, Sylvie, you do know that these games are all worth the same amount of games as Detroit. I know that. These games are harder to win because the level of competition.
Yeah.
You have, every game you play, you obviously have one less game to gain the ground that you need to gain to win the division. So, yes, while they're all equal, I don't believe all wins are equal. I totally don't.
No.
And that one that you thought where they looked, again, lifeless. Like, think about everything that went on in that game. Think about the first inning where they could not turn two.
Yeah.
Think about the relay again where Stoney is ripping them again, saying that this team, the book is out on them. They know when the relay throw comes in that they don't even catch the relay. They drop the relay throw. So they know to test the arm.
All of the outfielders.
Right. And they drop the relay. Think about Josh Harrison thinking he's got a hit and run on. And getting thrown out trying to steal second base, staring into the dugout, wondering, did Gavin Sheets miss a sign? Did I miss a sign? Him and Tony are speaking. That a fan is telling Tony when to pinch run Adam Engel or not. There were four or five different things that still drove you crazy. But what they were able to do is they were able to overcome all of that against a really good team and a really good bullpen and score four and walk off the field victorious.
And the reason why you're still left a little skeptical is for all of those reasons. Was this just a blip? Was this just an eighth inning? Was it eighth inning or seventh inning blip?
Eighth inning.
An eighth inning blip, or is this something that can serve as a momentum creator going forward? You know what? We'll answer that question in about 5 or 6 days.
You know, in the big picture in the last 3 weeks since the All-Star break, they have momentum. Their record is above 500. They're at 4 games above 500 for the first time this year. They haven't won 11 in a row or rattled off some big win streak. They've been all in all, since the break, they've been playing better ball.
They have. They're just hard to really, truly get behind because of all of the things you mentioned.
In that one game.
In the one game that they did come back and they win.
Yeah.
Like, I got to be honest with you. When they were down, you're down 2-0, the bottom of the eighth with 2 outs. You basically are putting L on the scoreboard, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
In the first inning, I played the Sox on the money line. They were at plus 235, I want to say.
After they went down 2-0.
After they went down 2-0, you know, I've been like, it gives me a little more juice, not being a fan, something to be into the game even more so. And it paid off. It was a good win.
Yeah.
And so.
Unexpected.
Very unexpected. And
this hasn't been their MO.
Right. Like, so my point is, at the end of one, you're thinking, yes, we could come back. It's one inning, big deal. It was a fluke 2 runs that they scored because of, again, sloppy defense. But with 2 outs in the eighth, you're not thinking that this lifeless team is going to show any sort of a rally. And they did. And they
did. You got a number to third that Bregman tried to make a barehanded play on and couldn't make. Then you had Vaughn hit a flare to right field, And then the floodgates opened.
I totally believe that the fan had an impact on La Russa. What's the other explanation? Why we watched it live, we were wondering what was going on. There was a long delay. There right. wasn't a pitch. But something happened there, and it coincided with the video that just went viral with Noah Weinstein, the fan that we just spoke to. That's the name of the fan who was yelling at Tony. He told us the story. If you're just tuning in, he wasn't even sitting in those seats. He ran down a couple of times, one to encourage Moncada early in the game. Then he ran down when Aloy was on second after the tying double, because even Benetti and Stone were saying, Benetti goes, is this the time to pinch run Aloy?
Yeah.
And it made sense, and they didn't pull the trigger there. And then, sure enough, they pulled the trigger a little bit later.
Under different circumstances, you would say this is just coincidence that they were getting themselves together and this was it. But with all things that have that have happened over the course of the last year plus with this team, you definitely can believe that that was inspired by Noah. There's no question. I mean, if you follow the breadcrumbs, that would be the conclusion you would come to. Again, under different circumstances, if things have had unfolded differently over the course of the season, you would have just said coincidence. You know, they're dialed in. They know what they're doing. But you've had moment after moment after moment where you sat there, whether it was Jason and Stoney talking about it, or it was you sitting on your couch with your kids screaming about it, or whatever it was.
Whether it's pitching to Buxton, whether it's 1-2 against Trey Turner, whether it's not knowing the rules last year of extra innings, whether it's not knowing that Joe Kelly had an arm injury, whether it's sleeping in the dugout on camera. These are all, like, except the one from last week, all fairly recently.
Yeah.
The sleeping in the Joe Kelly arm incident were what, in the last 2-3 weeks both?
Yeah.
And then now you add this one. You can't convince me. I'm interested to hear if they do ask him. They should ask him. This is what everyone's talking about today. Tony, did the fan really give you the heads up on Adam Engel?
Because listen, that's a given. That decision to pinch run is like that should happen like clockwork. There should be no delay.
It's the gut.
There's no real gray area there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
With the circumstances is what they were. You're tied at two outs. You've got a guy that's basically carrying a piano on his back at second base.
Right.
This is a no-brainer. For a Hall of Fame manager, this is a no-brainer. There's no gray area.
And there was a delay there. It wasn't like that this happened instantaneously and some guy was young. There was pause, 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 pause. And then, ooh, what's Tony doing wandering onto the field? And then you saw the video where the fan came down and was yelling over and over. And sure enough, it's an incredible video. We all retweeted it. It's on our feed if you haven't seen it. It's totally gone viral. Every national show is MLB Network this morning. They were talking about it. You know, John Boy Media, Barstool, all the different Twitter handles picked it up. Do you believe it made an impact? 312-332-3776. Tim on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking the call. You're sounding good out there. Took in the game last night, last summer go-around before the sun goes back to school. Picked up some tickets at the last minute. Stayed through 8 innings, and glad we stayed through the whole thing. We saw people leaving at 2 outs in the 8th inning, people getting a head start on parking. So I guess they heard on the radio what happened. But I'm saying the guy who really should be passing out cigars and thanking everyone should be Josh Harrison. I mean, he had quite a night last night.
You're right.
That first inning error, you know, I mean, kind of a routine grounder,
yeah.
You know, up the middle. A little difficult, but, you know, a guy like him should have made that play. 2-0 first inning, we were ready to pack it in. And then getting thrown out at second. So, yeah, if cigars are being passed, I think Josh had a load taken off his back after the turn of events later in the game.
You're right. And he's been good defensively. He's been recently hitting well the last couple of months. But defensively, he's been pretty good all year, and that was uncharacteristic for the double play. And again, just the importance of Johnny Cueto.
Yeah.
And just the better he – it is incredible. And then the way he put the exclamation on his start – to me, it fueled the rally. I believe in momentum in a baseball game.
I'm constantly amazed pleasantly by the amount of soft contact that he creates. Like, it had to be four or five pop-outs to the infield. There was at least two occasions where I think Johnny caught one on the mound, a pop-up to the mound.
Well, did
How often does that happen in Major League Baseball?
Did he call for one and Abreu took it?
That was the second one.
Right, and then they were sort of arguing a little bit. That's like even like then, you're like, oh, what's going on here?
You see this in Little League Baseball. Pop-ups to the pitcher. You very infrequently see more than one pop-up to the pitcher in Major League Baseball, especially against that lineup, the Astros. I think there were five separate pop-outs that didn't get past the dirt. I mean, it was crazy.
And tonight's going to be great. Tonight, I want to read you the text that I sent Carmen. Carmen's mad at me, and I'm not making fun. I'm not bringing up old scars about this. I was just surprised.
By the way, somebody caught the video. Somebody taped it. They
with
got
Carmen?
It.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate everyone on Twitch, too. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's brought to you by Midas and your local franchisees. It's fantastic. Yeah. Can we get that on Twitter? Can we get that in the GIF lab? So people everywhere can use it.
You can see the anger. He goes from angry to laughing, but.
Yeah. So good. You could watch us as always on Twitch. You listen to us on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 on the FM side, or the ESPN Chicago app. We'll replay the interview with the fan, Noah Weinstein, the one who was yelling at Tony, later in the show, and it will be available on the ESPN Chicago app. You want to talk about the White Sox? Come on at us, 332-3776. Also, some surprising news today out of Bears camp that we're going to get to with Courtney Cronin, who joins us at 3.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
3-2 swing and a miss, strike three. So Tony leaving him in gets the Sox to the bottom of the eighth, down still just 2-0. A standing O for Johnny.
Talking about last night's Sox game. This is the text message I woke up to. There were a few. And it leads to a good conversation.
Late night text?
When is too late for a text message?
You can send it whenever you want. I'm not going to guarantee I'm going to get back to you.
Well, right. Or, like, to me, our boss asked us that question today. Is there a cutoff time for texting? To me, it's shame on you if your ringer's not off.
My ringer's always off.
Like, I say text away, and I'll get it when I get it.
Yeah.
Because I make sure that the phone, that the ringer's off, the buzzing's off, all that's off.
You can text me 24/7. I'm not going to guarantee you that I'm going to get back to you in a timely fashion.
Like, my parents back in the day when we were kids used to take the phone off the hook.
Really?
Do you remember that thing? You know, the dial tone would happen. You take the phone off the hook, and then you get that loud noise. And then it would go dead, and people would get a busy signal when they tried to call
you.
Why
don't you just unplug your phone?
Because there were phones throughout the house. There was one in the kitchen. There's one in their room. There's one in my sister's room, my room, basement. So you would just take
You had a phone in your room?
Sure. This was the 70s and when I was...
Oh, I get it.
Probably when I turned 11 or 12. Junior high, a landline in my room.
Really?
Yeah, we talked. That's what we did when we were kids. We talked on the phone.
That's good for you. I think we may have had one phone in the house.
Oh, really?
It was just a lot of hollering.
You're going to outpour me again. I mean, that's what you got to do.
Well, I don't know. Listen, outpouring you, everyone's got their own phone in the 70s. I didn't think there are a lot of people that could outpour you there.
Well, I mean, I was 12 or 11
in
1982.
Remember, did you have your own landline in your room? Tyler, did you have one? Or you had a cell phone?
Did I have a landline?
You're like 29, 25 years old, so you had a cell phone.
Did you have a landline
in your room?
Yeah, I think it. Yeah,
did
I'm pretty
you?
Sure I did. Yeah,
look at you guys. But
they were like, yeah. At a certain point, like phones are like probably like $15-$20.
Right.
It wasn't a huge expense.
They were all the cheap phones.
Yeah.
I just don't think my parents wanted me being on the phone in my room.
You got to focus on football. Not all of us played in the NFL. All right.
That's what held us back.
We talked on the phone.
Once we got that phone, our career for an NFL was over.
Pick-up baseball game together. I'd call one dude, and he'd say, okay, I'm going to call Andy. Andy would call Tom. Tom would call Jason.
Telephone game.
Next thing we knew, we had 10 guys at Emerson Park playing Lob League. You know?
What's Lob League?
Lob League was where we didn't have home run fences back in the day. We would put home plate in center field. And you would only have, you'd have five on a team, so you would call your field. You get, like, righties would call left and center. You'd have a shortstop, third baseman, left fielder, center fielder, and a pitcher. You'd lob the league ball, and the backstop would be your home run fence. Okay.
And then, don't mind me, like Tony, my eyes just rolled in the back of my head, and I passed out thinking about that.
So anyway, going back to the is there a late, is there a way to, is there a cutoff time for text? Wilbon texted me. I didn't even know this. It wasn't on my radar. I was at the game Sunday. There were probably about 25,000 there, whatever. I don't make a big deal about Sox attendance. Wilbon texted only 18,000 in attendance for a game against the Astros with them having the best record in the AL. And you know Wilbon, he's salty about everything these days. Started yelling about the Sox, and not to bring this up to him on Wednesday because he would rip Sox fans. So I didn't know that, and I texted Carmen. That forced me to text Carmen. I thought that was low. To me, that surprised me on a beautiful summer night against the Astros.
Why aren't the Astros top seed in the American League at this time?
Yeah, like 18,000. Yeah. I know kids are back to school. In the middle of the winter during a school on a school night, the Blackhawks, who are horrific, get 18,000. So all I texted Carmen was, Carm, I know you hate this topic. So I even set it up. I know this gets under your skin. Carm, I know you hate this topic. But were there only 18,205 at last night's game? Jesse, is that right? How can that be for such a big series?
Wait a minute. You're rubbing salt in the wound
that
there. You can check a box score. Why do you need Carmen and Jesse to confirm and check box scores of the attendance?
I did check the box score. I thought maybe there was a misprint.
I feel like you took a handful of salt, Carm. And at the very least, you threw it into his eyes.
I didn't say what's wrong with your fans. Why don't people show? I was surprised.
That's why it was a subtle jab, not an obvious
jab. It wasn't even meant as a jab. I really had zero intention. And then he's going off at me. That Silverman, I got something for that Silverman. I'm going to stick it to him.
It obviously gets under his skin, the conversation.
His manager needs a fan to tell him to pinch run at Adam Engel, and he's mad at me for talking about the attendance?
Yeah, he was.
I think he's got bigger fish to fry.
I think he does, too, but he was mad at you.
Jeez.
Yeah, I take this as growth. I think Tony's learning, and now we just know what we need to do.
Tony at least is listening to somebody.
We need smart Sox fans to tell him what to do.
Every game's a community
meeting.
This is
growth.
Yes. Yes. 312-332-3776. We will talk to Courtney Cronin. There was surprising Bears news. We will take your White Sox calls, 332-3776. It's all next.